Hey, what's up, folks? My name is Rob Gorski, and you're listening to the Autism Dad Podcast. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to tune in today. I know that there's a lot going on right now, and everybody's lives have been turned upside down. Our lives here are no exception to that. What I wanted to do was just give a kind of a brief update as to how we're sort of managing, I guess. And then I sat down with Emmett. Emmett came all the way up to the second floor to talk to us about his experience on lockdown and some of his concerns and things like that. So right after this commercial break, I'll come back and talk about kind of what's been going on, and then we'll have Emmett on a little bit later. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. The Autism Dad is brought to you by Mightier. Mightier is a fantastic program out of Harvard Medical and Boston Children's that uses a wrist strap heart rate monitor and video games to help your child learn to emotionally self-regulate. That means fewer meltdowns. It works for any kid because it's biofeedback for kids. So it works for anyone. But it's especially effective in kids who are on the autism spectrum. As you may or may not know, kids on the autism spectrum can have a more difficult time with emotional self-regulation. My kids are no exception to that. And what this does is it finds an engaging way to teach them to recognize the feelings in their body, their emotions, and it rewards them with better gameplay by keeping those emotions in check and calming themselves down and keeping their heart rate in a certain place. It's brilliantly simple. It's proven science. They have proven that it reduces meltdowns up to 60%. That's good for the whole family. When your child is less stressed out and they're not experiencing distress, they're happier. You know, when they're in a better place as parents, our stress level is lower. And so it's a positive thing for the whole family. It's fun. It's engaging. My kids love it. And they offer a 30-day free trial. So there's no risk. You can give it a try. If you don't like it, you can just send it back. You can find out more information and read about my journey with my son using this program at theautismdad.com/mightier. That's theautismdad.com/mightier. I know that we are currently in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and most of us, all of us really should be on lockdown. I know it's a lot, and so I just wish you guys the best. So, all right. So it's about 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on March 20th. And I just figured that I would do sort of just an update as to how myself and my three kids are handling this current lockdown. You know, there are quite a few unique challenges that I'm dealing with. One is being a single parent. That really ups the challenge. Being a special needs parent really ups the challenge. And having a child in the home who is immunocompromised really, really, really ups the challenge. It adds a level of seriousness to this that it's very stressful. I'm very anxious right now because I'm trying to do everything I can to limit everyone's exposure, especially my oldest, because his immune system is compromised. So we have been on lockdown since March 6th. My son was diagnosed with influenza B. He was sick. And they tested him for flu, and he tested positive for influenza B. So we were sort of on lockdown for that week as well. And then it just sort of transitioned into the COVID-19 lockdown. And it's challenging in a number of ways. I'm the only adult really in the house, and lacking that adult contact is really challenging for me. I'm a very social person, and I love my kids to death and would do anything for them. But I've been in a house with them for about 2 weeks now, and oh my God, it's a lot. It's a lot for them. It's a lot for me. Everybody gets on each other's nerves. Some of my kids are very, very sensitive right now. They're very, very anxious. They're very concerned, very frustrated. We're taking this very seriously. And that means we're not visiting family. We're not allowing anybody to come over. I think I mentioned in one of the previous updates that Liz and I have decided to stop visits until this whole thing is done with, which, you know, it's the right thing to do under the current circumstances, but it's difficult. You know, the kids miss her, she misses them. They miss their grandparents and their aunts and uncles. And we're doing video calls. We're using Zoom right now because I use that for the podcast. And so I'm set up to allow like a lot of people on at one time. So, you know, we're going to try and set stuff up like that so everybody can kind of have a get together, you know, whatever. It's not the same thing as being in person, but it's better than nothing, I guess, at this point. So one of the other things that we are working on or struggling with at the moment is homework. You know, the school that my kids go to is not, they don't have an infrastructure for an online setup. And then a lot of the kids don't have access to the internet. So even if they were set up online, a lot of the kids wouldn't have access to it. So what they're doing is they're doing what they call Blizzard bags. And so every Monday I have to drive to the school, pick up a new packet of work for the kids for the week, and then turn in the work from the previous week. And I guess it's going to be an indefinite thing at this point. The kids are really frustrated with it because I guess they're seeing big picture right now. And in big picture, homework doesn't matter when you're in the middle of a pandemic and trying to survive. And I get that. But it's a requirement, and you know, I still have to work even though I don't want to. I still have responsibilities even though I don't want to or want them right now. And so I'm trying to get them to understand that we all have our part to play, and one of their roles is to continue their education in whatever manner we can. And it's an uphill battle right now. And and actually what we're going to do is a little bit later, I'm going to have Emmett come on and talk to us about how he's feeling during this whole thing. And it's pretty interesting. He's definitely very opinionated as to his feelings about having homework assignments during this period of time. But, you know, I think that it's important that we instill a sense of normalcy. Try and make our lives as normal as we can. This is going to be a new normal. Our lives are probably never, ever going to be the same after this. And we have to help our kids adapt. When you have kids with autism, routine change is a nightmare under perfect conditions. When you're not in perfect conditions, and I don't think perfect conditions really exist, it's an absolute nightmare. And it's destabilizing, and it turns their world upside down. And that's sort of what I'm dealing with right now. And I'm sure a lot of you out there who have autistic kids, or maybe autistic yourself, are dealing with similar things. Maybe work schedules have changed, or classes changed, or day services or whatever have changed. And it's just thrown a loop, like a wrench into the works, and it's thrown everything off. And I get that. And I'm trying very hard to be patient with my kids because I know it's not their fault. And I know that this is a lot for me to deal with as an adult with coping skills. And I can't imagine what it's like for them to be, you know, young kids still lacking a lot of that life experience where you learn how to deal with things like this. So I'm frustrated with the homework stuff just because it's just one more thing that I have to worry about, but I'm working to try and get them through it. It's not a battle that I want to pick right now, but I think it's the right thing to do at this point in time. Outside of that, I do have a couple of updates. One, I want to say thank you to Akron Children's Hospital. I love Akron Children's Hospital. I had reached out to them couple days ago and asked them for help with Gavin's IVIG infusion meds because his delivery was late. And they responded very quickly, and his meds were out the next day. And I'm very, very grateful for that, guys. I thank you very, very much. So Gavin has his infusion meds. He did his infusion today, and he'll do another one on Monday and then another one next Friday. And so he's back on his schedule, which helps him because he was really panicking. And then his clozapine, that's a very challenging thing that we're dealing with at the moment. I've been talking to Liz about it for a little while now. And the issue with the clozapine, Gavin is schizophrenic as well as autistic, and he has a bunch of health issues. He's a very gentle person. His symptoms of schizophrenia, if you've checked my YouTube channel, you've seen some of the conversations maybe that I've had with Gavin where he talks about the missions and stuff that he goes on, and those are his schizophrenic hallucinations. It's very real to him, but it's only real to him. And he takes medication called clozapine, which is very, very tightly controlled, and it requires blood work before every refill. For the first 6 months that you're on it, you have to have a blood work done every 7 days, and you get a 7-day supply at a time. If your labs come back perfect during that first 6 months, then you can go to a 2-week supply, and you have lab work done every 2 weeks. And after another 6 months of perfect lab work, you can move to 30-day supply. The problem is, not only does he have a compromised immune system, but to get refills for this medication, he would be required to visit a hospital or a local medical facility where he can have his blood drawn. And I just can't. I'm very hesitant to take that risk in exposing him to whatever might be out there. I don't like doing it anyways, but with the COVID-19 virus, he's at a very high risk, and it's just not worth the risk. And so Liz and I decided that we think it might be best to wean him off of the clozapine, working with his doctor to do that. And so I messaged his doctor. They're willing to work with us on that. I have a meeting with him on Monday via video, and we're going to discuss what the options are. No one thinks this is a good idea. It's not a good idea. I'm telling you right now, it's not a good idea. But considering the risks associated with him being exposed to something by going out into a crowded place to get lab work done where sick people tend to congregate, that's just, it's a risk that we're not willing to take. And so we're going to discuss our options and how to wean him off on Monday. So there'll be that. The problem with that is that he will be unmedicated schizophrenic. It's different for everybody, I think, who's schizophrenic. Gavin is going to be, he's going to appear more manic, I think. And we're going to be dealing with a lot. He's going to go on a lot more missions. He's going to be sort of isolated. He's going to isolate himself. And his imaginary worlds, we'll call them his imaginary worlds, they will spill over into this world. And he's going to have a much more difficult time telling the difference between what's real and what isn't. It won't really affect his daily life because he loves doing these missions. And so that's not really going to be a disruption for him. It's not necessarily going to affect the other kids either. It'll probably hit me harder than anybody else because he's going to want to talk about it. And he's going to want to let me know what's going on. We do these things called, we just call them mission debriefings, where he'll sit me down in private and he'll be able to go on and on and on about the heroic acts that him and his team did to save this universe from the evil bad guys or whatever. And you know, it can be a lot to deal with, and it's frustrating for me sometimes, because you have to strike a very fine balance. You don't want to play into the delusions, but you also don't want to challenge them too much either. And so all I can do is to basically sit there and listen. And it's hard for me as a parent because as I'm listening to this, I realize just how much he struggles. And that's tough for me to deal with. It's sad for me that he struggles with this type of stuff. I wish it were different for him. And so that's the one big challenge that we have coming up over the next few days, and probably the coming weeks as he comes off the medication. Outside of that, assuming that my grocery order isn't canceled, I'll pick that up tomorrow afternoon. I'm not super excited about leaving and coming into contact with anybody, but it's very minimal contact because they're just going to load stuff into the trunk and I slide my credit card and that's that. So it should be pretty safe. But we need to eat, and I think this is much safer than going to the grocery store and trying to navigate that. So hopefully they won't cancel that order, and I'll be able to go pick those up tomorrow. And outside of that, I mean, we're just trying to stay occupied. I'm trying to work on life skills with my kids that I have, I guess, sort of neglected over the years, helping them to maybe function on a more independent level, to sort of pull more weight around the house. I'm trying to sort of play to each of their unique strengths and use that as a teaching lesson. You know, we're viewing this whole thing as a zombie apocalypse. That's how we're viewing it in my house. We take it very seriously, but this sort of helps the kids to frame it in a way that is maybe less scary for them. And so we take whatever precautions we need. Everybody has a role in our survival, and I think it's been a relatively positive thing so far. We're barely into this whole COVID-19 thing. We've got a really long time ahead of us where we're going to be on lockdown, months probably, and so it's going to get rough. You know, I'm sort of climbing the walls at this point. I haven't sat down face to face with an adult in a couple of weeks, and that sucks. My kids are awesome. I feel very blessed to be their dad. It's sort of the honor of my life. And if I had to be stuck in a house with anybody, I'm glad it's my kids, you know, and I can work on keeping them safe, and we can come out the other side of this stronger and better for it. So please remember, as we go forward into this crisis, that we take it seriously. There are people who are immunocompromised, like my son, people who are living with HIV/AIDS who are immunocompromised, people fighting cancer, the elderly, people with other underlying health conditions. These people are all at high risk, and what we do today affects tomorrow. And social distancing and sort of isolating yourself, it's absolutely necessary. Wash your hands. Get your information from reliable sources. I'll keep a list of some of the reliable sources that I go to for information. They're public health officials or major hospitals. Their information is very sound. It's very realistic, and it is factually, scientifically, medically sound. So I'll have those in the notes below. I'm going to take just a quick commercial break, and then when I come back, I'll have my little interview with Emmett. It was a lot of fun to do that. He was a little fidgety, but he did awesome, and I'm very proud of him. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
The Autism Debt is brought to you by Probably Genetic. If you've followed our story at all over the last decade or so, you know that my oldest son, Gavin, has a lot of very rare medical conditions. We have been searching for answers over the last about 15 years in order to try and find out, you know, what the root cause of all of his ailments were. Along the way, he was diagnosed with childhood disintegrative disorder, which is a very rare form of regressive autism, epilepsy, common variable immunodeficiency, which means he's basically lost his immune system, Ehlers-Danlos, and an extremely rare autonomic disorder that has almost killed him on more than one occasion. The only test that hasn't been done was a test that would sequence my son's genes. And unfortunately, in our current healthcare system, this kind of genetic test has an extremely long waiting period, upwards of a year. It's most often not covered by insurance, and the costs are astronomical. It can reach upwards of $10,000, and that makes this type of desperately needed test inaccessible to families like mine. Thankfully, there is hope. Probably Genetic is helping me to find the answers to the questions that have long gone unanswered. Probably Genetic specializes in identifying rare genetic diseases that often go undiagnosed, especially in children already diagnosed with autism, like my son. They're on a mission to make full genetic sequencing accessible to those who need it the most. They significantly reduce the cost and drastically reduce the wait time. If you have already had whole exome or whole genome sequencing done and you didn't get an answer, they can reanalyze your existing data. If you don't have access to the data, they'll help you get it from your lab free of charge. So if you're one of the countless people out there in need of genetic testing, visit probablygenetic.com. You can use the code theautismdad400 at checkout and save $400 off of the genetic testing. So that's probablygenetic.com and use the code theautismdad400 to save $400. All right, so I mentioned in the beginning that I was going to have Emmett come on the show and talk to us a little bit about what life in lockdown has been like for him. So please give my amazing 11-year-old Emmett a nice warm welcome. How's it going, Emmett?
It depends on what you ask me about. Really depends.
What I wanted to do was just have a little conversation with you, specifically, about what life in lockdown has been like. I know that it's been a big change for all of us, and I know that there are some things that have really frustrated you. And I thought maybe we could talk about ways that, you know, how living through a pandemic and a lockdown like this affects you, how it makes you feel, and things that are upsetting you or bothering you. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. So, for those of you who are new, we've been on lockdown for about 2 weeks already because the first week was the flu. Flu was going through the house, so we were shut down for that. And then it just sort of merged into this COVID-19 thing. So, Emmett, you have been home for quite a while now.
Yeah.
Are you finding it... Are you stressed out? Are you worried? Are you concerned about anything?
I'm stressed. Definitely stressed. Sorry, lost my train of thought. Yeah, love stressful things.
What's got you stressed out the most, Emmett?
Well, the fact that the coronavirus is going around like a couple miles from our house. We can't leave our house. And that can be pretty stressful. And another thing is our school has this homework thing. And I know it's supposed to keep our minds working, but at the end of the day, why does it matter? Because we're all just trying to survive this pandemic. Which, going out to the school, even though it's a slight, like, super slight chance that you can get it, it's still a chance that if I could choose, I would not take.
Okay, so you're talking about when I have to drive to the school once a week to drop off the past week's work and pick up the current week's work. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I understand where you're coming from, and I sort of feel the same way that you do. However, they have it set up in a way that is very minimal contact, so that I think it's pretty safe.
But that slight chance with what Gavin has, the immune system.
Yes, Gavin has a compromised immune system.
Yeah, that.
So you're worried about that?
Yeah, I'd break the car just so that we can't go.
All right. Well, the idea of continuing the schoolwork.
I know, it's to keep our minds going so that we don't forget what we've learned.
Well, there's that. Okay, it's meant to help finish out the year so that you can pass the grade. But the other thing is that it helps you to maintain a sense of normalcy in an otherwise chaotic.
This isn't normal.
Okay.
Getting schoolwork isn't normal because normally you'd have help, but you don't have help from the teachers.
Just so that everybody understands, the way that their school is set up is they don't have that infrastructure to do online education. And so what they have is, they call them blizzard bags. And so we go once a week to pick them up, or I go once a week to pick them up, and they get a week's worth of work. And then when we finish it, I bring them back the following Monday, and it's sort of like a drug deal, kind of. We just pass one off and grab the new one. And it's all done very quickly, and so that it minimizes contact on the side of the teachers and the parents. You're not allowed to get out of your car. So it is a really safe setup. But I also understand the fear or the concern that you have, Emmett. What do you think should be the solution to help keep you distracted, keep you moving forward in your education while we're going through this? Because this is temporary. It may be a lengthy temporary, but it's still temporary, and you still have to be able to pick up and move.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe there are math sites like Prodigy and Reading Site, and they could give us those logins. And we could work on that.
Well, they did give us logins. Right. I guess what I'm saying is that's something that we should be able to do. But what you're struggling with is being able to focus on the physical work that they have sent home for you to do, right? Okay. Now, why? We know that you're brilliant, okay? But if you could see him, he's blushing right now. But and the work, it isn't something that's like too hard for you or anything like that. Is it just hard to focus right now?
It's stressed. Like, not stressed. Why can't I speak today? It's kind of a big source of stress because I have this. So imagine a wood board. There's a 2x4 on two stacks of bricks. And there's a 20-pound weight on that, which is the stress of the coronavirus going around and the lockdown. But then in our situation, which you might have heard of or heard about, I don't know. But yeah, that adds like another 30, 40 pounds to that board. And that board is really getting stressed. Like, it's at the breaking point. And you cannot add any more weight. And then it's like, the homework that they send just adds 10, 20 pounds. That's enough to snap the board in half.
Okay. So I get it. I get it. That said,
you have to do the same thing.
Well.
But the thing is, you have more experience. You've gone through life longer. So you're not like a wood plank. It's kind of like, you're kind of like an iron bolt, a iron pole.
So what you're saying is I have more ability to cope because I have more life experience than what you do. Okay. What I was going to say was, I know that this is challenging and I know that we have to work on the schoolwork because it's a requirement. What we just did a little bit ago was Emmett, we have a messaging app called Class Dojo that we have access to the school and teachers and staff and stuff like that. So Emmett very artfully and respectfully conveyed his feelings about the homework to his teacher. I haven't heard back yet. But you know, he was suggesting that maybe we can make it just a little bit more fun, something that's more engaging, I guess. Mm-hmm. That makes it a little bit easier for him to focus on this. And I get that. And the bottom line is, nobody has ever been through anything like this before, and so we're all trying to learn as we go. And none of it is easy. And we have to be able to adapt as best we can. And you know, maybe the approach to the homework right now isn't the best approach, but in the absence of prior experience to this, we have to learn as we go. So, my other question to you, Emmett, is what can we do to help make lockdown more tolerable? Because we may be stuck here for the foreseeable future.
Well, tips for everyone that's in lockdown, if this is after the lockdown and you're just listening to this, you don't have to listen to this, but you can for future lockdowns. Never know that people from... Not... Never mind. Cut that out. Yeah, do board games. Engage with your family. And
go ahead, I'm sorry.
What were you gonna say?
Well, I was gonna say, I know one of the challenges that we have in particular is that you're not able to see your mom and your grandparents and your aunts and uncles and stuff like that right now because of the lockdown. And so I know that's not easy for you or for them. So I wondered if you had any suggestions for other families that may be going through something similar.
FaceTime. You can call, FaceTime. Don't we usually use Zoom?
We use Zoom, yeah, but FaceTime is for people who have iPhones. But you're talking just like video calling.
Yeah.
Do you have any other advice for maybe kids who are struggling with the lockdown right now?
Not that I can think of. Just here's some pretty cool things. I don't want to say that about it, but we're living through history. So maybe that could, like, maybe if you... like history, maybe you can say, well, maybe this could be something in history books someday.
So just try and keep a positive outlook and know that it's temporary. And I think Emmett and I would both encourage everybody to make sure that they get their information from reliable sources, people in the health, public health profession.
Yeah.
Make sure you wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You stay, social distancing is incredibly important. As much of an inconvenience and as painful as it can be to be away from family and friends is very, very important.
If you have like some things of hand sanitizer, use soap before you use the hand sanitizer.
What do you mean?
Like if you use the bathroom and you have to wash your hands, use soap first because it kills the germ. Kills the germs and it washes them away as well. And you can use hand sanitizer if the water shuts off or the power goes out.
Okay. You don't mean use it first. You just mean like use soap and water as your first line of defense, right? And when you don't have access to soap and water, use hand sanitizer, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Excellent advice, Emmett. Excellent advice. And just remain calm. Don't panic. And remember that social distancing, as hard as it is very, very important to help stop the spread of the COVID-19 virus. So, Emmett, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show. You had to walk all the way up the stairs.
It was so much of me. I will see you next time. Probably, I don't know.
Whenever that is.
Yeah. It's like, we have no schedule. What's going on?
All right. Thank you, Emmett. I love you.
Bye.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me hanging? All right. Thanks, Emmett.
Love you too. Bye.
All right. So before we close things out for today, and I know this is a much shorter episode than what I normally do, but, you know, everybody's dealing with their own things, so guests are a little bit more difficult to come by right now. I have a few things in the works. I'm trying to get some experts on to help everybody better understand what the coronavirus is, how we can protect ourselves and our family and everyone else in the community. So I'm working on that. But I wanted to just thank Emmett for coming on the show today, because I know it's not always easy for him to express himself, but he's very good at doing it, I think, especially when it's something more abstract. He can express himself very well. And I just appreciate his input and his perspective and his way of viewing the world. And I love all three of my kids to pieces, and I'm just very grateful to have them and to be their dad. And it's the best thing in the world for me. So thank you, Emmett. I love you a lot, man. You guys can find me at theautismdad.com. All my social links are at the top of the page. If you're interested in being a guest, you want to talk about what this is like for your family or whatever, you can either send me a DM on Twitter or just visit my contact page on the blog and send me a message. It might be interesting to hear how other families are dealing with this. If you're an expert and you want to talk about something related to this, maybe mental health related or how to manage depression or things like that while you are on lockdown, that'd be awesome too. You guys can subscribe to this podcast via your favorite podcasting app. Just do a search for The Autism Dad and hit subscribe. I really appreciate that. In the notes below, I'll have a list of reliable resources for information related to the COVID-19 virus and health and safety precautions and things like that. So you guys can check them out. I encourage you to give them each a follow. And outside of that, there's a link if you want to support the podcast. You can do that if you feel so inclined. I would appreciate that as well. So I hope you guys remember to please be safe. Take this seriously. Wash your hands. Social distancing is vital to stopping or at least slowing the spread of this disease. So please, 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 please take this seriously. You know, maybe you're healthy and your family is healthy, but not everybody else is. And what you do today matters tomorrow. People like my son, Gavin, who has a compromised immune system, people who are elderly, who have underlying health conditions, people maybe living with HIV/AIDS or fighting cancer, all these people may have compromised immune systems. And by socially distancing ourselves, we are helping to protect them as well. So please keep that in mind. I wish you all the very, very best. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I will talk to you next week.